all prepared for tonight. And God dealt with me this morning during Brother Davis's teaching about prayer. And actually, it was a confirmation. This, God's been dealing with me about this for some time. And I had a message concerning this subject, and I went back into it. Got a little more revelation as a result. And I'm going to take my time here in reading, and I know it's going to be some lengthy reading. But I want you to, at the very beginning, I want God to capture your attention completely. I want God to capture your attention. Because this is not necessarily a problem. It's something that we always need to hear. And there's new people here that need to understand it more than they ever have. Joy is something that every child of God should have. Okay? It should. And I'm preaching on that. But I want you to understand the depths of joy. I want you to understand that the world cannot ever give you what you can find within the church. And I want the church to understand that you still do not know the depths that you can plumb with joy. Because there is so much more to it than I think most people ever would understand. Isaiah, the 12th chapter, verses 2 and 3. Isaiah, the 12th chapter, verses 2 and 3. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's wonderful, isn't it? Now, I'm going to give you a lengthy reading. Just bear with me. I'm putting this all together. I'm going to read 11 verses out of chapter 15 of St. John. Chapter 15 of St. John, 11 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather him, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Close your Bibles, put them aside. If you're looking up here behind me, turn your eyes away from it. Turn it to the Lord, and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We honor you. We pray, God, that anointing can flow forth as never before, God, in such a way tonight that takes us deeper than we've ever been before. I ask it, and I ask God now, knowing that you will do this, if we ask it in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. One more hand clap as you're being seated. Praise God, praise God, praise God. All right. And I am simply preaching, titling this tonight, Don't Miss It. Don't Miss It. I heard a story for you. It's been a, a while back about a preacher who had a good friend. And whenever he saw his friend, this friend would always say to him, "Whatever you do, do not miss the joy. Whatever you do, don't miss it." Robert Louis Stevenson said at the end of his life, even though he faced many difficulties and physical handicaps, he said this, "To miss the joy is to miss everything. If you miss joy in your life, you have missed life." And if you are sitting out there tonight and you have no joy, I promise you one thing as I stand here as a man of God, that God can give you all the joy that you ever will want if you allow Him the liberty in your life tonight to receive that joy. And we see yet today so many people who do not have, and have missed, if you would, the joy. There's a grimness that pervades life today. Everywhere we look, we see grim, white-knuckled people who are desperately, all they're doing is just hanging on. I hope and pray that McCormick's Creek Church is not just a hanging on church. We're a going forth church. We're a church, and when we start hanging, we hang down here at the altar till we get the victory that's going to take us above whatever's tearing us down. Praise God. I know that Jesus said in Matthew 10, He said, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." But what you got to do with Matthew is you got to couple it with James 5 and 11. And it says this, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." If I'm enduring, I got to be happy. Why should I be happy when I'm enduring? Because, my friend, if you're enduring, that means you're doing something right. And if you're enduring, that means the devil's after you. If you're enduring, that means something good is in your life that He doesn't want you to go forth and do. If you're enduring, you got a God that's going to help you to endure. And if you got a God that's going to help you to endure, you're going to be able to endure whatever the devil has to throw at you. Oh, we can't lose in this thing. No. Praise God. You know, there's a few people out there that still feel, "I'm so unworthy of having joy. I'm so unworthy of having any delight in my life." Now you think about it. It was like that. Many people think of joy as a reward for perfection or a reward for performance. Whoever ever measures up to their own standard? Nobody does. You can't measure up to the standard you set for yourself. That's why we measure ourselves by God's standard. If I measure myself by God's standard, I can measure up. If I measure myself by Robertson's standard, there is no human being alive that can do that. And especially me. There's a great need for joy today. It should be the identifiable mark of the Christian. It should be contagious. You should be able to touch him and catch a real bad dose of joy. You should walk by him and just be joyful. It should emanate from your pores. You should have a stinky joy about you. Everywhere you go, you leave this cloud of joy. It's like Pigpen and Peanuts. Every time he walked around, there's this cloud. It should be joy on every Christian. Why? Because I'm going to heaven. Why? Because there's great things in my life that God has done. Joy should emanate from the very pores of a person who's serving God. Praise God. Now, William Barclay said that a gloomy Christian is actually an oxymoron. You know, a contradiction of terms. And nothing in all religious history has done Christianity more harm than its connection with black clothes and long faces. There's a lot of our churches today that are going to that. They forgot what worship is all about. They forgot what joy is all about. I should be happy that the church is here. I should be happy I've got an opportunity to come. I should be happy that I got a place to bring somebody to be saved. I should be, come on! And all that happiness should turn to joy inside of me that bubbles up and bubbles up and bubbles up, and I cannot contain it any longer. Grimness comes both from taking ourselves too seriously and failing to take our Lord and His promises serious enough. The gift of joy is a legacy of the Lord. That's what He left us. There's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you got joy. You know, at the conclusion of one of the most crucial messages Jesus gave to His disciples on the night before He was crucified, He said, "These things I have spoken to you that My joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Now, this, Gordon, I just read this. This is where He's speaking of being the vine, and we are the branches. Now, the Holy Ghost flows from the vine to the branch. It is the Lord's life Himself giving us the profound experience of nurturing and satisfying love, which is expressed outwardly in the fruit of joy. See, there is actually one fruit of the Spirit, and that is love. But it expresses itself in joy. So if I have God's love working inside of me, I should express joy. Throughout the New Testament, joy and the Holy Ghost are closely related. Acts 13 says the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Paul speaks of joy and the Holy Ghost in Romans 14. The key word describing our dependence on the vine for our source of love and joy is abide. If ye abide in Me and I in you, you can ask whatever you want and I'm going to do it. Come on. It's abiding in the vine. I've got to have the source of joy constantly flowing through me. I've got to have the source of joy that's coming from the vine to the branch, always moving through me at one place to the other. I have got to have it operating in me. I can't get away from the vine and expect to have joy. So this word implies a necessity of constant and active relationship between us and the Lord if we're going to experience joy. Now, I'm always seeking a way to plumb the depths of my salvation. I've got salvation. You've got salvation. We got enough, I hope, to get us to heaven. But I have to know that there's more, because the Bible tells me there's more to this salvation than what I'm experiencing. So how do I plumb it? So I'm always looking for a way. So I feel like I found another key. Robertson's way to the path of joy, which leads to more understanding of salvation. I want to write a book. Get all this. This be the title. That leads to salvation and hope for all mankind through this. Just a title. Through Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life, and in Thy presence there is fullness of joy. The word fullness means satisfaction or to be satisfied. So what is God saying here? He said, you will show me the path of life. In Thy presence there is a satisfying joy. Satisfying joy. I'm satisfied. I'm not looking for nothing else. I'm satisfied. I'm not happy. Happiness is fleeting. I am satisfied with the joy that I have in me. And the only way I can do that is to be in His presence. Come on now. So I am satisfied with this. And if you're looking for true joy that brings satisfaction, it can only be found in God's presence. That seems like a broad statement. I try to do it all the time. I see people out there working so hard to get in God's presence. You think by gritting your teeth real hard and busting a couple of molars that you might be able to do it. Won't help. You can pound on the altar until you bloody your knuckles. It won't help. You got to abide close to Him all the time. Our problem is we don't abide next to Him all the time. We think that we're just supposed to do it when we come to church. No, I got to abide in that vine all the time. That's why when you come in here, my friend, you have got the fullness of joy. You're going to be able to plumb some depths here. And you see, the key here, that's number one. I got to get into His presence and find satisfying joy. I got to do that. Satisfying joy. And then, and only then, can you draw from the well of salvation. You see, I don't have one. Let's pretend like I'm the best pretender that there ever was. This is Robertson's patented joy bucket. Looks like something a stork would have a baby in, doesn't it? You tell all of your kids, right, that that's how the babies get here with a stork, right? Okay. This is a joy bucket. It's not a stork deliverer. All right, now, this is the only way you're going to be able to draw from the well of salvation. Isaiah 12, verse 3 comes from the Hebrew word where it talks about, let me read it to you. The well of salvation, the word salvation in Isaiah 12:3, comes from the Hebrew word Yeshua. And the word Yeshua in Hebrew actually means Jesus in the Greek. So what he's saying, it's the same word. He said that you are drawing, your salvation is Jesus. With joy, you're going to draw from the wells of Jesus. See? Now, that's just not wonderful, that the fact that that's our salvation. And what is our salvation? We know it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So what is that saying? That's saying that Yeshua is in you. That Yeshua is in you. Now, if Yeshua is in you, that salvation is in you, then there is all kinds of good things that salvation has for you. Because Yeshua, the same word that we name Jesus comes from, Jesus our salvation, what does he do? What does Jesus do in you through salvation? You see, we quit short. I mean, the greatest thing we can do, let me put that a different way. The greatest thing can happen is we can go to heaven. That is the most wonderful thing. But yet, that is all we do. We just stand around and endure with long faces until we go to heaven. When he says with joy, you can draw from the wells that Jesus has put in you. Now, the name Yeshua defines salvation. So what am I drawing from the well of Jesus? What am I drawing from that? What does he define this as? And he defines this as, first and foremost, you're saved. That's number one. That's what the word means, saved. But it also means deliverance. It's interesting the way that came out, because it said saved, then it said deliverance. And actually, that can take you several different places in Scripture where it talks the same way. Saved and delivered. You see, a lot of people come down here and they get saved. You get the wonderful joy of the Holy Ghost, but you're still dealing with something. You're still dealing with a problem. You're still dealing with an addiction. You're still dealing with, you know, you slip up and say a nasty word occasionally. Instead of saying hallelujah, you say something else. And then you feel so bad, you know. I thought I was saved. I thought God had saved me from that. So you said, well, I can't be saved. So I go back down and get saved again. It's okay to come down here and get all the salvation you want. It's okay to talk in tongues all you want. But somewhere along the line, you've got to acknowledge that Jesus has saved you. You've got to acknowledge that. You need to hear this. You've got to acknowledge that he saved you. But I'm not delivered. You've not plumbed the well. With joy, I got to find joy bucket. It's got to go down in the well and get deliverance out. I got to get deliverance out of there. So how do you do it? Well, you don't sit back there saying, I'm not saved because I cussed today. You say, I know, God, I'm not supposed to. I need to be delivered, so I'm going to get a little joy in my life. Hallelujah, Jesus, I love you. I'm going to worship. I'm going to get joy built up inside of me. I'm going to get presence. I'm going to get into your presence again, because in your presence, there's fullness of joy. I can drop it down and get my deliverance.
I get my deliverance that way? Well, why do I got to get in His presence? You're not getting His presence by sitting there, I'm not saved. That's not faith. Whatever's not of faith is sin.
You see, we got to get over that. And it's hard because I have a hard time getting over it. I do. I think if I am not the perfect guy that I have, don't have a right sometimes to talk to God the way that I do, but I have got to find joy all over again. I mean, I got to get in His presence. Then I dip down in, come out deliverance. Now, it doesn't just mean saved and deliverance. It also means aid. Long before, and let me put two together. It means saved, deliverance, it means aid and welfare. Long before the government came up with governmental aid and welfare, God already had it. So instead of going to Uncle Sam, I'm getting ready. You think I'm going to go unsaved the rest of this, don't you? Make people mad at me, right? You think I'm going to do that, don't you? No, I'm not. I'm not going to say a word. Because you already know what I'm thinking. So I don't have to. I need aid. Wouldn't it? I'd be sitting up there at the welfare office. There's a guy who gives it. They come to me and say, Robertson, I need aid and welfare. And I give him my joy bucket. I said, go find the presence of God, dip down into it after you're saved, and come out with aid and welfare, because God will take care of you. Can anybody acknowledge that God has taken care of them? Come on. Has anybody ever dipped down and got all the aid and the welfare that you needed? Come on. Come on. Ah, hallelujah. Dip down and get the aid and the welfare God has for you. Not only does He save you, deliver you, aid you, and give you some welfare, He also gives you victory. You ever been into it with somebody? Just every time you turned around, you got into it with somebody. And you know the whole world is bad, but you're perfect. Everybody. You just get mad at every time. Someone comes by again. You know, my favorite thing, people showing their IQ when they drive by you on the wrong side of the road. And you all of a sudden, you're all steaming. You want to be. I mean, just before service, I wanted to beat someone half to death. But, you know, I blame it on the fact I'm a pastor. Pastor's a protector. And anytime someone gets messed with, I want to protect them. I can't help it. But I should want to beat them half to death. Quarter. So I need victory. And one thing's for sure, when you're fuming and angry, you're not in the presence of God. So what do? You go to an apostolic service at McCormick's Creek Church, and you say, I'm not going in there with this bad attitude and this anger all over me. I'm going to go in there and say, God, I need You, and I need Your presence. I need to feel You one more time, and I need to get my joy bucket and get some victory over what I am. Dip it right out of the well of salvation. I can have the victory. You can have the victory. Oh, are you with me tonight? Are you got victory? Do you believe you can have it? Ah! Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah! Oh! Man, I tell you, I hate to bring up these last two. I know, not I'm taking. Hate to bring up this next one because I'm going to be accused, but I can't help it. I looked these words up. Salvation means what I'm about to say. We're not pushing this thing into the ground. You know, it all is part of it. Some people take one little bit out of something and they just beat it to death. We're not beating this to death, but the fact remains it's here. And it says this, you can dip down into the well of salvation and you can have prosperity. Come on now. That's what it says. It says the only way you're going to have the joy to get it is to be in the presence of God. So some of you that are not prosperous, you're not spending enough time in God's presence. I'm not telling you you got to pray 24 hours a day. I'm not telling you that you got to constantly. I'm talking about spending time in His presence, being able to talk to Him regardless of where you are. Whether you're driving, whether you're walking, whether you're at work, whatever you may be doing, you can be in God's presence. And when you're in God's presence, you get something. You get that bucket. Come on. You get that bucket, joy bucket, and you can dip down in there and God can prosper you. Praise God. He can prosper you. You know, you gotta walk around that on just softly. Because some people go so overboard on prosperity. But regardless of how we feel about it one way or the other, God says that we can be prosperous. It's because we abuse prosperity. That's what makes it wrong. But God's church should never be without, and God's people shouldn't be without. They shouldn't be without. Why? If I'm in God's presence and I've got the right motive for what I'm doing, I should be able to dip down in that well with being in His presence, the joy bucket, and come out. Come out with prosperity. Oh, you're not going to like this last one. I'm going to wipe my mouth. Joy bucket. It says that in Yeshua, salvation, there's health. Everything that Jesus purchased for us is right there in that one word. That one word, His name. Everything is in His name. But the thing is, the joy is the key to plumbing the depths of the name. You know, we don't get it. We come up here and shout Jesus' name over everything. We abuse the name. We use it idly. We just throw it out there. We're not throwing it out there with joy. We're not throwing it out there by being in the presence of Jesus. We're just throwing it out there like it's some kind of incantation. Be careful with throwing it out like that. It's not a magic word. It's God Himself. It's everything that He stands for. And He said, I can have health, but I got to be in His presence. And the Bible tells us we can pray for the sick. It says that there is a gift of gifts of healing. It says all of that. But He says that we can have health by dipping down into the well of salvation and bringing it out. But the only way to do that is staying in His presence. Because in His presence, there's fullness of joy. And you see, most of our joy is a fleeting thing. It depends on how much money we have. It depends on who's been nasty to us today. It depends on how tired we are. It depends on how we feel. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I want to preach this so I'll feel good. And you know what makes sense to me? After I read this, it made sense. I'm up here under the anointing, and I don't have an ache in my body. I get out of this, sat down for a minute, and everything I've got will hurt. So as long as I preach, it's making me preach longer. And I feel good. You know, I stay real good. I still going real good. But you know, that's the key. I'm joyful. I'm in His presence. And I've got health. I've dipped down into the well. And I'm feeling good. But you cannot touch any one of these unless you have joy to draw with. You have got to have joy to draw with. That's the only way. Now, there's no joy without Jesus abiding in us. None. There is more here than the idea that knowing about or even knowing Jesus gives us joy. Jesus is joy. If we want joy, we must have Him in us. He's got to be in us. We have to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is just, that must be. Jesus said this. He said, every branch of mine that bears no fruit, He takes away. And if a man does not abide in me, He is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If we have no inner experience of the Lord's flow of love and no discernible expression of joy, we can be cut off. So there's a danger in not being joyful. Let me add one pastoral thing to this. If you're dating or thinking about getting married to someone who does not bring you joy, kick the dude or dudette out. I'm telling you, anything that impedes the joy of the Holy Ghost should be out of your life. I'm not telling you get a divorce. I did not say that. You've already got into it. You're going to have to beat joy into whatever you're married to. Joy is the dominant note in the parables of the lost son, the lost sheep, and the lost coin. The joy of heaven is shared by the father when his son returns from the far country. But the elder brother is a dead branch. Think about this. That can either show love or joy, or neither could show love or joy at his return. He could show neither one. He was a dead branch. You think about what I'm saying. If somebody comes down and gets some attention, God heals them. They draw some health out of the well, or they draw some deliverance, and they start rejoicing, and they do better than you are. You should be joyful with that person. You should be joyful with that person. You should rejoice with those that rejoice. Mourn with those that mourn. But we need to be sure that we can rejoice with those that rejoice. And not get upset at God because it's not worked for us. Well, you just need to be in God's presence and get the joy bucket out and do something about it. I want you to start playing real light for me, brother. Real light. If you get too noisy, I'll stop you. If you don't get noisy enough, I'll tell you to get noisier. Now, the Good Shepherd says this. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Now, Jesus underlines it all when he says, just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I do not want any singers. Thank you. I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. It's not hard to understand that the Lord loves us. Calvary shows us that. But how does he love me, listen to me, right now? Calvary tells me he loves me, but how does he love me right now? We're going to call this the creative now. Right now. How does he love me right now? Can God do it for me now? Can I dip down into the well now? Can I bring deliverance out now? I got more preaching to do. He's just playing. I'm going to throw the joy bucket out here. And only if you feel that you can get what you need, do you pick up the joy bucket. You bring it down here and you dip down in Jesus' name. And God's going to do it. I'm believing this. I have got enough faith for you and me both, but you've got to have enough to at least get you down here. Only when you feel that way. Now, I'm not having an altar call. I'm just telling one person who wants to do this. So it's not hard to understand it, but could God do it for me right now? We think somehow that smooth sailing is somehow equated with him loving me now. We think as long as everything is good, he loves me now. But we're not only subject to reconciliation, but also to renovation. Be ye reconciled to God, but sometimes before I can be reconciled to God, I have to be renovated. God has to get in and change a few walls here and a few walls there. Got to build something up here and something else. So maybe you're in renovation right now. And maybe God is telling you right now at this time, I want to do now for you what you have been wanting me to do. I am ready now to deliver you. It's the creative now. You know, you think about these words. Think about what I'm about to say. These things, he said, I have spoken to you. Now watch me. His joy in fullness depends on what he said previously. His fullness of joy is what he said previously. These things means previously. All right? The total sweep of John 15, 1 through 11 moves to the climax of verse 11. Everything he said in the verse 10, or the first 10 verses, reveals the condition of authentic joy. The first 10 verses give you what authentic joy is. How to be in the presence of God. Because only in the presence of God can you have fullness of joy. It tells you how. Jesus and his disciples had just left the upper room where the Lord had celebrated the Passover. They made their way secretly through Jerusalem and past the temple on the way to Gethsemane, where Jesus would pray before he was arrested. Now, I would imagine that it was as they passed the temple precincts that Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." I believe he said it right at that point, right before he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, Israel prided itself in being the vine of God. Over the main entrance to the temple was the beautifully carved gold leaf symbol of the vine, the branches, and the grapes. Now, no expense had been spared in creating this reminder to the people of their heritage and special calling. It was firmly rooted in Scripture and in tradition. The psalmist had prayed, "Thou didst bring a vine out of Egypt. Thou didst drive out the nations and plant it," in Psalms 80. In Isaiah 5, he said, "The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel." In Jeremiah, he said, "Israel is the Lord's choice vine." Now, sense, watch this. I want you to sense the wonderment the disciples must have had when Jesus, with authority, said, "I am the vine." He just said he replaced Israel. He took Israel's place. Now, faith in him and not in Hebrew blood was going to make the difference, was going to be the source of salvation. No longer did Hebrew blood guarantee you to be saved. Only faith in him caused you to be saved. In substance, he was saying, "The only thing I can give you, the only thing that can give you life and joy is a love relationship with me. That is all. Your hope is not in your heritage, but intimate living fellowship with me." It doesn't matter if you're born Pentecost. That doesn't get you anywhere. That's that loving, intimate relationship with him. It's being in his presence that gives you fullness of joy. At his right hand, pleasures forevermore. So it gives you the joy bucket to dip in and get what you need from God. This is one of these things that I have spoken to you, which Jesus meant when he offered fullness of joy. These things. Previously, I told you all about it. I told you. I am the vine. You are the branches. Love is the flowing, life-giving sap which surges from the vine to the branch, and the fruit of that dynamic energy, that fruit of that energy is joy. Joy like we've never, ever had before. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Vineyards in Israel are ugly, black stumps in the spring, but in the fall, a transformation takes place. The branch is grown back, laden with fruit. As we stand with me. True joy, which is the fruit of God's Spirit, when we abide in him, seldom comes when things are tranquil. Never. But the key here is surrender. And the Lord can utilize everything, wasting nothing, to help us experience joy in our difficulties and life's tragedies. Because really, you're not going to learn it unless you understand what hardship really is. True joy is an abiding thing. True joy is always there. True joy is always going to be bubbling up inside of you. And only in true joy can you reach down into salvation and pull out good health, pull out welfare, pull out aid from God, pull out deliverance, pull out all that we ever would need, everything that you need, prosperity. Everything comes from being able to be in God's presence and finding the fullness of joy. You know, during the difficult times in our lives, during those times is when all this really begins to blossom in us. During hard times, we find out that Jesus cares. Then what joy leaps in us, and we begin to understand He does care. That preacher is preaching to me tonight because God heard my prayer. He heard the desire of my heart. I want this to build in me. I want joy to be able to overflow in me. Joy's always there. You may not be jumping and shouting, but you still have joy. You still have a smile on your face. You still have the knowledge I can draw from the well. Stop the music just for a minute. I'm going to read. I'm going to read out of 2 Chronicles. I really wasn't going to, but I just feel like it tonight. I want you to get this. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 27. And it says this. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also, with the trumpets, with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of the offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and began to worship. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also, and the trumpets. Hezekiah brought sanity and sacredness back to Israel after the apostasy of King Ahaz. The temple was cleaned of the abominations, and the people admonished to repent. The king gathered the people to sacrifice the he-goats for sin offerings. He also stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres to be ready to burst into song when the sacrifice was made. The people of Israel understood the meaning. That sacrifice was taking their place. Do you see what I'm trying to get to you? The presence of God is understanding who took your place. The presence of God is being close to the one that took your place. The fullness of joy is knowing that He did that for you. Regardless of how bad you've been, regardless of how much you have failed, regardless of how much has gone against you, He loved you enough to die for you. Life is hard, Brother Robertson, but He died for you. I can't make it, but He died for you. I don't know if I can be saved. He died for you. When the whole assembly was silent, the priest went forward and with a burning torch lighted the sacrifice. At the instant that God consumed that sacrifice, the musicians played and the whole congregation burst into song. They knew that they were saved. They found joy again. He died for you. I'm going to get in His presence. I'm going to feel Him tonight like I never have before. Music, go ahead and start again. I want you to raise your hands. I want you to begin to acknowledge Him. This altar is now open for you. If you want to come down and dip in the well, if you want to come down and dip in the well, I want you to do it. There's deliverance there. There's health there. Come on. There's health there. There's deliverance there. There's prosperity there. Dip into the well. Let God give it to you. He said He promised it. But you can only do it when you're in His presence, because in His presence there is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand, pleasures forevermore. Only when you understand Him. Only when you can acknowledge how great He is in your life. Only then. Only then. Oh, won't you come? If you don't understand what real joy is, if you don't understand what real joy is, you can have that tonight. Because when you receive His Spirit inside of you, joy is released. Then you begin to understand what I'm speaking of, that there's something more inside. There's something more that you can dip into. There's something more that's wonderful and positive. Jesus has got everything for you. It's all here. It's the fullness of joy. Dip into the well. Get your deliverance. Dip into the well. Get your prosperity. Dip into the well. Get your health. Dip into the well. Get your aid. get everything that you need from Him. He has salvation and much, much more. He has salvation and much, much more. Oh, lift Him up. Let the joy come. Let the joy return that you have lost. Singers can come if they would like.